Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonica.com. It became clear that the city's regulation and enforcement of odor issues is outdated. We got that stinky story plus Hold My Beer, Black Death. But first, secret RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police report warns Canadians may revolt once they realize how broke they are. Grabbing this from StratfordBeaconHerald.com, a secret RCMP report is warning the federal government that Canada may descend into civil unrest once citizens realize the hopelessness of their economic situation. The coming period of recession will accelerate the decline in living standards that the younger generations have already witnessed compared to earlier generations, reads the report entitled Whole of Government 5-Year Trends for Canada. Fairly innocuous title. For example, many Canadians under 35 are likely ever to be able to buy a place to live. It adds the report, labeled secret, intended as a piece of special operational information to be distributed only within the RCMP and among decision makers in the federal Canadian government. A heavily redacted version was made public as a result of an access to information request filed by Matt Malone, assistant professor of law at British Columbia's Thompson Rivers University and an expert in government secrecy, describing it itself as an introduction as a scanning exercise. The report is intended to highlight trends in both Canada and abroad that could have a significant effect on the Canadian government and the RCMP. Right from the get-go, the report authors warned that whatever Canada's current situation, it will probably deteriorate further in the next 5 years. In addition to worsening living standards, the RCMP also warns of a future increasingly defined by unpredictable weather and seasonal catastrophes such as wildfires, sometimes not set by psychopath environmentalists and state-run geoengineers, and flooding. Another major theme of the report is that Canadians are set to become increasingly disillusioned with their government, which authors chalk up to, of course, us. It's all our fault, you and I, James. Misinformation, conspiracy theories, and don't forget, paranoia. Law enforcement should expect continuing social and political polarization fueled by misinformation campaigns and an increasing mistrust for all democratic institutions, reads one of the report's overarching considerations. Ironically, among the report's more heavily redacted sections is the one carrying the subtitle, Erosion of Trust. The past 7 years, Orange Man and Coof, have seen marked social and political polarization in the Western world, reads the partial first sentence, and the rest of it is all deleted by government censors. The censor's pen also deleted most of a section warning about paranoid populism. Economic forecasts for the next 5 years and beyond are bleak, reads the RCMP's assessment of the rest of the decade, even adding a quote from French President Emmanuel Macron that the end of abundance is nigh. The guy groomed by his teacher as a 15-year-old. Thanks. So why the loss of trust? Could I get a wheelchair lift installed into my home? Best we can do is tell you to call the maid and die. Hey, I'm excited. I'm telling people to just come on down south to the land of the freer, the home of the slightly braver. We do have the PDF, redacted as though it may be, Whole of Government, 5-Year Trends for Canada. James, is this playing recordings of wolves to try and scare everybody again? The other crown country chaos. Protests over carbon price hike halt traffic all across Canada. Anger over the increase of the federal carbon price. Ottawa's planned 15 per ton increase in the federal consumer carbon price came into effect last Monday. It translates to the carbon price of fuel rising from 14 cents to about 18 cents. Do you want North American Union? Because that's how you get North American Union. James, remember North American Union, NAU, was just moments away.
Yes, it was. And people might remember the Montebello protests were a big part in derailing the seemingly unstoppable juggernaut of the momentum towards that North American Union. If you don't remember that, check either the Media Monarchy archives or the Corbett Report archives, because we both talked about it at the time. But, you know, you raise in jest the Canadians fleeing down south to freedom. But actually, I mean, it's actually somewhat really true. Earlier this year, America's northern border confronts record-breaking migrant surge. It's not just the southern border. No. There is a record-breaking number of people trying to illegally flee into the United States. Now, to be fair, I'm sure a large proportion of those are not native Canadians, but at any rate, it is happening. And it probably will be happening with native Canadians if things continue trending this way. Although, to be fair, yes, certainly, Canada is descending into utter hellhole chaos. And since the RCMP is probably 5 years behind everything, they're probably 5 years behind this this trend they're predicting. It's already happening. And as you say, the protests that are taking place, I'll throw in a link to the Countersignal, which has a good compendium summary overview of the carbon tax protests that were taking place this week. Yeah, people in Canada are already protesting. People are already sick and fed up with this. But to be fair, I don't believe that this is a particularly Canadian phenomenon. I think it's just happening there in a very dramatic way, and we've got this RCMP report about it, but, I mean, is it truly that much different in the United States or in various European countries where, by the way, farmer protests continue to make headlines day after day, or even in Japan, where absolutely the economic and demographic and all the other writing is on the wall for anyone with eyes to read it? It's already happening. And in fact, this is, of course, why the World Economic Forum and Bilderberg and all these people have been concerned with the poly crisis and the precariat and all of these other things that they're introducing to the vernacular to try to describe this. Essentially, it's not that difficult to understand what's happening. We are heading towards neo-feudalism. And they're just trying to find the best way to break that news to the population in a way that doesn't end up with people carrying pitchforks and putting people's head in the guillotine. And, I mean, if history is any guide, that's where this is heading. So here it is. It's all documented. The RCMP is admitting it. So I guess now normies can understand and believe it. But I don't think this should be particularly surprising. And as I say, I don't think it's particularly Canadian.
There's the quote. It's always been very popular that Poppy Bush said, if the American people ever find out what we did, they'll run us out of town on a rail. It kind of reminds me, James, I'm thinking about, and I don't want to misconstrue the work, but I think Whitney Webb kind of touches on in One Nation Under Blackmail that they're okay to let out the controlled release of them being a bunch of pedos and sex criminals, because if you found out how much money they stole, you'd really flip out. That's mind-blowing, because we like to think our moral, upright world, and we're going to go kill all those pedos and stop everything, but doing that doesn't put food on your table. Man, that's how we get going on this New World Next Week, episode 549. Our second story, world's population to fall for the first time since the Black Death. The world population expected to fall for the first time since the Black Death because of plummeting birth rates, a Lancet study has found. The decline in the number of children women are having has started to slow the growth of the global population, which stands at just over 8 billion and could mean it could start to fall within decades. It would be the first time that the number of people on the planet has decreased since the Black Death bubonic plague pandemic. They have to add the word pandemic because Black Death plague, I guess, isn't enough. Killed as many as 50 million people in the mid-1300s, including up to a third of the population in Europe. That is the only time to date that the number of humans on Earth has fallen, with historians estimating that the global pop fell from around 400 million to 350 million. Women are required to have 2.1 children each on average to maintain population growth, known as the total fertility rate, and as of 2021, it stood at 2.23 worldwide. And James, this article goes on, and I finally got to the point. I was just like, well, I just wanted to see the report. So I scrolled and scrolled. I couldn't find the link to the report. It's possible I got confused by the archive.is link. Things kind of get, you know, masqueraded and moved around in the links sometimes. But what I did find when I scrolled to the bottom of the article is the Lancet study was conducted by the IHME, Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, a Dr. Gates front organization, and funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, just right there at the bottom. I will include a link to the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. I'd never heard of it, but it's created and funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We do have the link. Thank you, Corbett. The Lancet, dramatic declines in global fertility rates set to transform global population patterns by 2100. This is when democide meets the demographic winter, isn't it, James?
Yep, and hey, I've got a front row seat here in Japan for the already shrinking population. that is pertaining here in the land of the rising sun, or is that the setting sun at this point? At any rate, it's happening. It's all, again, like the people are going to start revolting. No, they already are. The population is going to start shrinking. Well, here in Japan, it already is. And that's just a bellwether for pretty much 99% of the world, if you read the Lancet study. Anyway, yeah, what an interesting story. And I think, I know that the majority of people in our audience don't need to be told this, but I know there's always, whenever I talk about the depopulation agenda that is 100% completely out in the open, there's no secret about it. But when I talk about that, there's always that galaxy brain out there who goes, well, if they're trying to depopulate the world, they're doing a pretty bad job of it because that population number keeps going up and up, huh? Which is as scientifically illiterate as the Ehrlichs of the world back in the 1960s who were arguing, look at the way the global population is increasing. By this rate, I'll calculate that there will be 100 trillion people in the planet by the year 2000, and they'll all be starving to death. Oh, wait, that didn't exactly happen, but still, let's hail Ehrlich as some great prophet. No, it's scientifically illiterate. Yes, the gross number of people, as in not net gross, you know what I mean? Number of people is increasing, but the curve in the population growth rate is declining to the point where, yes, the global population will peak and start shrinking by the end of the century. We know this. And this is significant because, as this article, I think at least properly contextualizes, this is the only time in human history this has ever happened except the Black Death. And this time it isn't a Black Death. It is a part of, I mean, there are many factors that go into this. And if you want to learn about those factors, please do see my podcast debunking the pseudoscience of Paul Ehrlich, because I do talk about that. But it is definitely part of a coordinated depopulation agenda that the Gates Foundation just happens to be funding just through their IHME, keeping their eye on the ball. Hey, how is our depopulation agenda going? Oh, yes, all right. And if you think, I mean, again, there's many ways to interpret what's happening here, but if you think that this isn't something that people are actually desiring and lusting after and applauding, I will just, as one example of many, I'll point people to the Journal out of Ireland, which had a post up on this, and guess what their hot take on this is? Dr. Catherine Conlon, are there too many humans? Where, yes, surprise, surprise, after outlining the study and what it's talking about the first time in human history, other than the Black Death, that the human population will actually be decreasing, it goes on to say, the real question that needs to be asked is whether there are already too many humans on the planet, and whether falling fertility rates globally and in developed countries is a singular opportunity for the planet to realign itself with planetary boundaries and address wealth inequality, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how to put it any more clearly or to ring the alarm bell on this any more loudly than I have been doing for the past couple of decades, but they want you to desire your own extinction. They are trying to drive the most basic instinctual force out of the human population and to get them to cheer on, yay, as the human population shrinks. It is disgusting, and it is based, as I say, on complete scientific charlatanry and lies. And they talk about the carrying capacity of the Earth and how many people the Earth can... total lies, total debunked nonsense lies. And I have receipts to prove it. Read a book like Superabundance, where they show that that is scientifically illiterate garbage. It is anti-human at its base. But don't worry, guys. The Canadian government has a solution for you. MAID, of course, as you referenced earlier, medical assistance in dying, right? Hey, guys, you know, you are kind of a burden on the planet, and you stubbed your pinky toe this morning, so why not just end it all, huh? And we'll help you to do it. And putting that in perspective, I'll just throw in as one more link. I'm 28, and I'm scheduled to die in May. A piece by Rupa Subramaya on the Free Press about the social contagion of suicide that has been introduced through the normalization of euthanasia in the Netherlands and in other countries like Canada. So we're already on this roller coaster ride, and it is about to start plummeting. And people who think, oh, look, see, we're going up and up and up and up, do not understand. It's not going to continue to go up. It is about to start plummeting to a point where it may not be reversible. This is... potential human extinction event on the horizon here. We are entering the plane of the event horizon of this potentiality. And people just are cheering it on as it happens. It's the most disgusting thing I have ever seen in my life.
I think there's a meme about the roller coaster reaching the tippy top before you're about to go down the slides. I believe the transhumanist that made The Matrix, what the bad guys in there say, humans are a disease. This idea has been put in more and more. WALL-E, the Disney movies, the Pixar stuff, humans are bad and dirty and awful and you should want to die. Was it Paul Ehrlich that wrote the new intro to the Soylent Green book when they were making the movie? Yeah, because remember on our film, Literature and New World Order episode, talking about Make Room, Make Room, that sci-fi book was originally just kind of a crime novel, but by the time they turned it into the film, it had become this eugenics overpopulation propaganda. That's why they got Paul Ehrlich to write the new intro on that book. Our third and final story, the wild card story on this triumphantly returning New World Next Week episode 549. I've got three words for you. Portland odor policy. Taking this from OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting, Portland City Commissioner Carmen Rubio announced that the city will change its odor complaint policy following public outcry over the current policy's impact on some city restaurants. The news comes 1 month after a Northeast Portland restaurant, Faux Gabo, shut its doors following multiple odor complaints that would have required thousands of dollars in upgrades. The complaint process drew sharp criticism, including the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association, for the code appearing to target restaurants of different ethnic backgrounds. Rubio initially called for a pause on odor complaints earlier this month before announcing that changes would be incoming. No word on when any of that would actually happen. I'm very concerned and am raising questions about the negative impacts of this policy. After my staff met with the impacted business owner, it became clear that the city's regulation and enforcement of odor issues is outdated and needs a more fair, practical, and equitable approach. My goal is to see the code change happen as soon as possible. Staff from the City Bureau of Planning and Sustainability will review the history of odor complaints enforcement before providing any recommendations. The Planning Commission and City Council would have final say on any changes. Odor complaints, relatively rare in Portland, they say 28 odor complaints in the last 5 years, according to city records obtained by OPB. Majority of complaints concerned restaurants, while others focused on nail salons, auto shops, and cannabis dispensaries. Less than a handful of the complaints resulted in enforcement or warnings from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, with many labeled as unfounded. What the fuh? Leaders call Portland smell ordinance unfair, discriminatory, after complaint closes pho restaurant. I'll include a local Portland news video for you. I'll admit, James, at first I thought this story was going to be about the staff smelling. My last restaurant job, I before I moved to Portland even, bunch of stinky hippies all working there. I was sort of the Marilyn Munster of that crew. So I was thinking, oh, they all stink probably, right? I used to remember, it's like, I can hear Slayer's Rain of Blood and smell your weed. I'm trying to make us some money here waiting tables. But this sort of, it's like a luxury problem. James, it's like I kind of like it as a thought exercise. It's kind of fun to cogitate on, especially coming from a town that I knew well. Alas, poor Portland, I knew her well. And then I double check my Hamlet quote there, James. Portland is like Yorick, the dead jester exhumed. Whew, anyway, the Democrats there are now trying to put the crime toothpaste back in the tube that they literally voted for. So allow me this extra editorial sidebar. It's worth it. I'm going somewhere. Oregon recriminalizes minor drug possession amid skyrocketing overdose deaths. In 2020, Oregon voters approved initiative Measure 110 that decriminalized all drug possession, meth, fentanyl, all of it. Since the law went into effect in 2021, the state has seen a major increase in overdose deaths that led to a 90-day emergency declaration in January of this year. On Monday, Democrat Governor Tina Kotek signed legislation that recriminalizes minor drug possession. Also, the Oregon governor's wife says she's a mentally ill alcoholic. Days after nepotism scandal explodes over her being given an official job in police detail while facing bullying accusations. I think that might help illustrate just how far Portland has fallen at that. The stink thing might be a giant waste of status resources. And they obviously have much bigger problems. But let's keep thinking about this. Let's keep blowing some secondhand smokes. Nashville woman suing local barbecue restaurant because smell of grilling and smoked meat is a nuisance. Remember, this is going back a ways. Remember the stink over the sriracha factory, that hot sauce everybody loves. Inside the sriracha factory causing a stink in California, April 2014. And yes, the complaints all around America these last several years. Everything smells like weed now that it's legal. Homeowners raise a stink over pot-smoking neighbors, May 2020, as states legalize recreational medicinal marijuana. Community associations and municipalities deal with how to handle pot's pungent odor. Marijuana stinks. Here's what cities, businesses, and neighbors can do about it, September 2018. And I was reminded about the Nasal Ranger, the odor telescope. Please include that picture, Brock. And what about the grody nail salons? The truth about chemical exposure in nail salons is worse than you think. November 2019, I would always cover my nose and mouth when I walked past the nail place in my, yes, old Northeast Portland neighborhood. And I wonder if the people that sat alone in their cars with a mask ever in the previous decades once wore a mask when they went down the cleaning aisle of their grocery store. Why you need to wear a face mask while cleaning, December 13th, 2021. What about deadly Axe? 8 kids hospitalized from Axe body spray, November 2013. What about the CDC banning perfumes and colognes at some facilities? Recent policy bans fragrance in CDC sites, May 19th, 2010. And really the worst, what about Morrissey having to smell meat? Morrissey forced off Coachella stage by smell of burning meat, 4/20/2009. Thanks to Monarchy member Baines for reminding me of that one. James, can you die from an odor? I mean, like if you were locked in a vomitorium for 2 weeks, could you actually die from an odor?
Is that a Seinfeld reference?
There it is.
I get it now. Okay. I don't know. Can you? All right. So, yeah. What an interesting story in what it unlocks. I mean, one place we could go with this is, without government, who would regulate the odors? But perhaps more seriously, I mean, it does gesture to the disintegration of Portland, as you talk about there. And I don't know, I've never even been to Portland, let alone know much about it in particular. But I can maybe bring this full circle back to our first story, because I was talking to a Canadian expat in Japan here recently, who was talking about he went back recently for a visit to Vancouver and said that the place is absolutely falling apart now that they've essentially legalized most of everything, and it's just criminality, and it's not the place that he knew. And this wasn't some, you know, far right, you know, conservative, whatever. This is just a regular salt-of-the-earth Canadian who probably voted liberal and all of that back in the day, but now is disgusted by the way the place is falling apart. So I think that's probably something that people in many cities around the world can relate to. And what is this? I think this is part of the civilizational collapse that we're living through. So anyway, it kind of goes from a seemingly trivial story to the heart of the monumental historical level events that we're living through. But I don't know, it's just a crazy time that we are experiencing, and it happens in every facet of our lives.
Mm-hmm. The ban TikTok bill. It's like that could be a Trojan horse just like this. It's like once you let them ban this and ban that, they can ban anything they want. You know what I blame this on the breakdown of? Society. We have New World Next Week stickers. So folks might have noticed these last couple of months, several weeks, we do finally have a fantastic, our first ever logo for New World Next Week. I had ripped off the Council on Foreign Relations podcast cover. That's a kind of an album cover. That's not really a logo. We now finally have a logo, and those stickers are at newworldnextweek.com. Of course, there are those digital downloads. If you still have people coming to you going, oh, this octopus thing on Netflix, send them to newworldnextweek.com and check out our awesome octopus radio play. And of course, there's hats and beanies and stuff to spread the word about, of course, all of our work. And the best way to do that is to spread the word about our work. James, that is New World Next Week, episode 549. Why were we... Why were we Jedis on the thing that got posted while Brock and I were away?
I don't know. Force ghosts just seemed appropriate. But we are not done with this episode yet, James. We got to give people what they're waiting for. I don't know. I don't have the dejected sigh in me at this point. So anyway, you'll have
when the last story is about that restaurant stinks, it's easier to be like, everybody's nuts.
yeah, it didn't quite feel appropriate this week. Well, anyway, maybe next week.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's good to be back. You can't force it.
You can't. Good point. Let's never force it again. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, thank you for the stories, James. Talk to you again next week.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.